In this episode, we chat with Anne Michelle Wand. Anne Michelle is a former single mom turned real estate investor who now lives in paradise on a Caribbean island in Panama, and she lives debt-free. We go through an average day in her life, and man, it sounds amazing. It wasn't always amazing. She had to go through quite a bit of adversity to get where she is now. The impetus for getting into, really kind of standing on her own two feet and standing up for herself and pushing forward with her own career and taking ownership of her financial situation was a bad marriage that she was in and a subsequent divorce. And just, I love her story of preparing herself for opportunity and the grit that was involved in the work ethic and pivoting when an opportunity presented itself. And she made a good bit of money in owning and managing a hair salon and also owning and selling the real estate that the salon was a part of, and then pivoted even further into real estate investing and now works with passive real estate investors, and she's building a community in Panama. So in a lot of ways, her story is quite relatable, but also it's unique. We've not had a guest on, with her story at all. So I think for the single moms out there, for any female investors, women investors, this is an absolute must listen for you. And just the intentionality and the consciousness that Anne Michelle brings to our podcast today through her story and her encouragement. She's definitely living in abundance, in a multifaceted abundance. And I think you're going to really get a lot out of this episode.
From Adversity to Abundance, hosted by entrepreneur and seasoned real estate investor Jamie Bateman, is the ultimate guide for active and passive investors seeking clarity, mental fitness, and the confidence to make inspired decisions in the world of real estate. With a decade plus of investing experience across various niches and a background as a combat veteran, former Army officer, and multi-million dollar mortgage note company owner, Jamie brings a wealth of knowledge and inspiring stories to each episode. Through weekly episodes featuring insightful interviews with industry leaders and solo explorations of mindset and strategy, listeners will uncover actionable advice and tips to overcome challenges and build lasting financial success. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, From Adversity to Abundance is your roadmap to turning obstacles into opportunities and achieving financial freedom.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of the From Adversity to Abundance podcast. I'm your host, Jamie Bateman, and I'm thrilled today to have with us Anne Michelle Wand. Anne Michelle is a single mom, former single mom turned successful real estate entrepreneur who now lives in paradise in the Caribbean. And we're going to get into that. She's in Panama. Anne Michelle, how are you doing today?
I am absolutely wonderful and really happy to be here. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. We were chatting a little bit beforehand and just getting to know each other, and you're focusing on your story specifically. And I'm excited. This is going to be, I don't know how to, not every story is like this. This is going to be very relatable yet unique. So I think a lot of people are going to be able to relate to this. But also it's pretty different as well. So I'm excited to dive in. So you mentioned to me before we started recording that a bad relationship was kind of the impetus for what started your growth and your mindset change and all this, eventually getting into real estate investing. And I failed to mention your business is called Passive Profit Partners, and we'll get into that more toward the end. But talk to us about your backstory and your marriage specifically that maybe didn't go so well, and give us some more context there.
Okay, well, I always had a wanderlust. I loved to travel, but I ended up getting married young and having children very young, and the relationship wasn't so good. So I stuck with it as long as I could, but eventually did end up divorced and a single mom. Well, as a single mom, I needed to provide for my kids, over and above whatever dad would provide, which wasn't much. And I started out with jobs, but with my personality, I would usually end up in a manager position. And I realized quickly that I should start my own business in order to make more money and live the lifestyle I wanted for my kids and myself. So I tried a few different things to get my bearings. I moved from the mountains of Colorado down to Boulder, Colorado, and I wanted to send my kids to private school, Waldorf school, but I didn't have the money. So I started a catering business after working in restaurants for a couple of years, and that I was able to build up enough income to put my kids in private school, but I didn't have nights, weekends, or holidays with them because that's when people wanted catering.
Sure.
So I quit, while I was in catering, doing the catering, I decided I would put myself through beauty school and become a hairdresser because that had the flexibility I needed as well as the income. And I did that. And within 3 years, I had built a beautiful clientele and went looking once again for a better opportunity. So from that, I walked into this lady's salon and wanted to rent a booth there. And she had owned the salon for 17 years and was ready to retire. And she said, "Why don't you not just rent a booth, but buy the salon?"
Wow.
And she offered me a deal I couldn't refuse, a small down payment and paying it off over 3 years. And she also owned the building so that
Wow.
once I paid off the business, I could buy the building from her. And
Nice.
it was a no-brainer. I had to do that. And immediately upon moving from working in a salon to owning my own, my income went up 25% because there were other hairdressers besides my own income providing it. And I expanded the salon, added facials and nails, and remodeled the building, and increased that business. And then about 15 years later, I was able to sell the whole thing at a big profit. So that was
Wow.
one of my first forays into real estate. And I realized that was going to be my retirement account. I was going to invest in real estate from now
Wow.
on.
And so,
And
oh,
so,
so
yeah.
the when you after the end of the 15 years, that included the sale, included both the business and the real estate at that point?
Yeah, I wanted to sell just the business and hold on to the building for a few more years for appreciation, but she wanted the building so badly that she said, "Tell me the price you would want in 5 years and I'll pay that." So I
Wow.
did some calculations and named a price and she paid it.
Wow.
It's
Wow, that's
amazing.
yeah, that is
Well,
amazing. And I gotta say,
anyway.
I mean, people might say, well, Anne Michelle got lucky that this lady was the timing was there and this lady offered this business. But I would counter and say, well, you put yourself in that situation because you were seeking an opportunity to better yourself and provide income and flexibility for your kids. And
Yeah.
so had you not been seeking that opportunity and kind of putting yourself in that position, that never would have materialized. So, both things can be true. Maybe there was some luck involved but also you were prepared and ready to say yes to that opportunity. What would you say to that?
Well, I believe what Oprah says, luck is when opportunity meets preparedness, just like you're saying. And I've been a person that believes in evolving myself, both physically, mentally, spiritually, on every level for a long time. And I did a Tony Robbins course when I was 18 years old and have been on a conscious journey since then. So I know that mindset and confidence is 80% and 20% strategy. You can figure out how to learn how to run a business. You can figure out how to invest in real estate, take courses, do whatever you got to do, read books, watch YouTube. But if you don't have the success mindset that you believe in yourself and that you can do it, and an example is like Henry Ford, right? If you believe you can, you can. If you believe you can't, you can't.
Either way,
And
you're probably you're either way, you're gonna be
either
right.
way, you Probably right. So
Yeah.
that's been my philosophy and how I've operated and how these opportunities created for me. I could give you multiple stories of how I took advantage of opportunities the universe brought to me, and I recognized them for
Yeah.
myself.
I love that. Are you willing to put any numbers to that first deal as far as what you purchased everything for and then what you exited for?
I prefer to keep that private.
All right, fair. Well,
Thank you.
no problem. It's a, we're it's obviously up to you as far as how vulnerable you want to be. Okay, so you exited the, with the price you named and she paid for both the real estate and the hair salon business. Then what happens?
Well, another way that I invested in real estate was that I found properties that were fixer uppers. I was, doing fixer uppers, fix and flips and that kind of stuff. And I took a course to learn how to do that. And then I said, I got to try this. But in the beginning, I didn't have the down payment for my first house. So what I did was I borrowed $20,000 from my sister and was able to qualify for the loan because I had the salon, and had good income and pay make the payments. And that house happened to be on the outskirts of Boulder, Colorado, on an acre of ground. And I found out through some research that if you annexed into the city of Boulder, you could subdivide the land into 4 quarter-acre lots, and hook up to city services, as well. So I did that. I got my neighbors around me were in the same position, and I gathered we all together annexed into the city, got the services, split our lots, and I lived in the house for 5 years, fixing it up, and sold the three lots. I was able to pay my sister back the $20,000. The house was $108,000, and the I think I can't remember what I sold the lots for, but maybe I sold each of them for 50 to 75,000, and then I was able to pay her back and buy another property. I had a down payment on the next property, so I did that a
That's
couple more
fantastic.
times with excess land. And that's something people don't think about a lot, but if you can find a
No.
town, well, there's like 100,000 people, it's an immediate, small town, you can do stuff like that.
Yeah. That's I've not heard that. We have not had anyone talk about that on the show for sure. I mean, and there are a lot of ways to be creative in real estate, but you were looking for an opportunity and then researching. And then probably asking questions and then talking to the right people and just making it happen. So I love that. It's that's not something that just fell into your lap, but yeah, I mean it, but then you realized it was an opportunity and you did it, you said several more times.
I did it 2 more times, and then I was buying rental properties, for buy and hold. I generally keep them about 5 years, and then and depreciate them down, and then resell them and move into a bigger property where I ended up with duplexes and up to even a 44 unit apartment building and a vacation home in Hawaii. So, and some of those I did with partners, so I actually formed groups even back then of people to invest together.
And before we hit record, I think you mentioned or at least I read about 1031 exchanges. So were you doing that at that time?
Yes, I didn't want to pay taxes right at that time, so I would defer the taxes by trading up to a more expensive property. That's how I ended up with bigger and bigger properties until we had, multifamily. And then it be became clear to me that multifamily was the direction to go, in the future.
Yeah, so for those unfamiliar, we're not going to get in the weeds on it, but what is a 1031 and how does that work?
It's when instead of just selling the property and then paying the taxes and keeping the profits, you more or less you trade up. You find a property you want to buy that's more expensive than the one you had, and you have to find it within a certain time frame. And a custodial company, a 1031 company, has to do the transaction for you. It's sort of hands off for you. You don't touch the money, and they flip the money into the next investment. Is it in a nutshell? Would
Yeah,
you
and then
say
you're
that's correct?
Yeah, absolutely. And I've never actually done one myself, but that's absolutely correct from what I know.
Yeah, you can defer until you die if you want to and pass that tax burden on to your heirs. But I didn't do that. When I decided to move to Panama, I slowly cashed out one property at a time as I was moving here, and I did that slowly over a period of a few years.
Gotcha. Then I definitely want to talk about Panama and the abundance you're living in. I know it's not only financial abundance, but before we get there, speak to the real estate investor who's maybe younger and starting out. Maybe even in today's market conditions, interest rates are very high. How do I know which niche to get started in? And of course, we know there's no one size fits all answer to this, and depends if are you working 70 hours a week already? Are you unemployed? There's a lot of variables here.
Yeah.
But to the newer real estate investor, how do I do my first deal, or how do I decide which niche to pursue?
Well, if you're right. There's no one size fits all. If you've got some time on your hands for a side hustle, I mean, I owned two salons and did real estate as a side hustle to begin with, and later made it my full-time occupation, realizing that becoming an agent would give me access to the MLS for deals. And also helping other people, buy homes, buy and sell homes at
And
the
oh, by
same
the way, you were
time.
a single mom, right?
I was a single mom.
So that's not to be forgotten. That's pretty impressive
Not
to
to be
do.
forgotten, so depending on your situation, if you've got a full-time job, maybe you just want to do a more passive investment where someone else does the work. Or just try a single family, fix and flip. If you have the down payment for that and the qualifications to qualify for a loan, or you can partner like I did with someone who has the down payment and split the proceeds with them,
Absolutely. Yeah, so I agree. It comes down to, what's your experience and what are your strengths? It could be money. Maybe you have money to put to
Yeah.
work and you don't have a lot of time and energy and you want to partner with someone like Anne Michelle and put your money to work. Or maybe you are in between jobs and you have no money and you've got lots of hustle and you're willing to go talk to people and find someone with money. Lots of ways to do it for sure. But I think you got to figure, ask yourself, what's your experience? What are your strengths? Kind of what are you working with and where do you want to go? Right. And do you need cash flow or do you need profit in 5 years? That's in 2015, I'd been a real estate investor for about 5 years, but kind of made a mindset shift myself. And I said, what are my strengths? Who's in my network that can help me and that I can work with and that I can help as well? And then instead of focusing on woe is me and the things that are obstacles, it's just like, no, what can I work with? And that mindset shift really changed everything. And not to say it's all been rainbows and butterflies ever since, because there are always struggles and we're never done with adversity, but that mindset shift was critical in just realizing, it helped me eventually, leave my W-2 and go into full-time real estate investing. But we'll save my story for another episode. So moving to Panama, I mean, you mentioned to me before we hit record that you researched a lot of different countries and locations that everybody said were amazing. Most people wouldn't even think to leave the US, but twofold. One, how do you decide to even cons how do you consider mo leaving the US? And then two, how did you decide on Panama?
Well, I always had a wanderlust, and I like to release my limitations and expand my horizons. So traveling was a thing for me. And every time I had a vacation, I would go to a warm, exotic beach and see what it was like and thought, could I live here? And I visited enough of those locations, in different parts of the world, Caribbean, Hawaii, Thailand, Bali, all over Central America, Costa Rica, Mexico. And when we walked, and I discovered Panama, kind of, I'll tell that story in a minute. But when I walked off the plane after deciding to come to Panama as a potential, it was like, I could live here, you know, just looking around and exploring. It was like this feeling that I got. And I always listened to my gut. So within the 4 days that we were there the first time, I had put a deposit on a property. But I'm also, you know, an adventurous soul and willing to take a bit of risk. And I had a little bit of resources behind me to do that. So that's important to consider too. It's like where you're at and where you're willing to go
Yeah,
with it.
maybe it's not for
So
everyone, right?
I thought I would move to Hawaii. I thought I would move to Florida like everybody else. But I owned a vacation home in Hawaii and I didn't like it that much. I made a good profit on it. I bought it after Hurricane Iniki when everybody was selling and sold it about 5 years later. And that's how I got
Nice.
cash to come and invest in Panama. But
That's interesting. Yeah, it's definitely that's the unique angle that we were referring to earlier. I mean, not too many people would even be willing to move outside the US who are from the US and then move to Panama. So, speak about the abundance. I mean, I do have some questions that we'll get to here, but speak about the abundance that you're living in right now. What does that look like? Is it financial, mental? What kind of abundance?
I'm sorry to
No,
interrupt.
go ahead.
I always had a dream that I wanted to live in a cottage by the sea with clear blue turquoise water. That was a dream of mine for a long time that I kept in the back of my mind while I was raising my kids, and intentionally moving, you know, and exploring that direction. So the abundance that I live in now is I have that cottage by the sea with a now very healthy romantic relationship that a man I've been with for almost 20 years now.
Wow, congratulations. That's great.
And he just happened to be a guy with a tool belt who knows how to build homes.
Right, that didn't
And
hurt.
we designed and built our own home on land that I had bought 25 years ago. And I get to look out any one of my windows that you look out. Pretty much, you're going to see lush green vegetation, or you're going to see Caribbean ocean water with those gentle waves lapping against the shore. You
That's
know,
amazing.
and it's not a bad dream to have, but I live there. I'm also always been health conscious all my life. In my younger years, I did a little bit of petite modeling, and I learned how to eat well and exercise and drink a lot of water at a very young age, and kept those habits with me. So at my mature age now, I'm still healthy and I take no medications.
That's great.
And I exercise 5 days a week. I do different things so I don't get bored. We eat very healthy, mostly on the vegetarian vegan side at this point in our lives, and we feel really good on that diet. So physically taking care, I think your body is your temple and you need to take care of it by exercising and eating well.
Yeah,
Your
absolutely.
mind is also, thoughts become things, so you have to pay attention to your thoughts so that what you create is what you want and not what you don't want.
Right. They're so powerful, and people end up thinking that they are their thoughts, and then their thoughts control them.
Right.
We can
But
control
your
our
thoughts
thoughts.
create emotions, and emotions creates reality.
Behavior, which creates
You
reality,
feel
right?
it.
Yeah,
Also,
true.
I think important point is spirituality and connecting to something bigger than you. You know, whether you believe in God or the universe or Allah, or I don't care what it is, but to have something that you can have faith in outside of yourself is an important piece to have the confidence and the spirit to be able to do things, knowing that
Absolutely.
you're not alone in this world.
Very true. Couldn't agree more. And what is a day in your life look like, or maybe a week?
Okay. Well, I am what I call financially independent, financially free. You know, my time is my own. And I've been that way for a number of years. So what I've chosen to do is I generally do not book any appointments before 10 o'clock in the morning. I get up early. I'm up probably 5, 6 in the morning, and the first thing I do is meditate, have a morning routine that puts me in the right mindset for my day. So I meditate, and I meditate intentionally on my goals, or just for general well-being, or I pray for someone else. Once I've meditated, and then I'm, feeling harmonious in within myself, I get up and I drink my magic drink, my little smoothie that's made from superfoods, and then I exercise. And it might be different exercises on different days. I do yoga or Pilates. I put on a YouTube video and I do it just at home. Or I might go to town and ride my bike. Or I might swim because I can swim right out my front door
That's
and
amazing.
snorkel out there. So I go say hello to the fishies.
All right.
Or I kayak. So I like I said, I get kind of
Variety of
bored
activities.
easily, so I don't do the same exercise every day, but I do exercise 4 or 5 days a week, and then I take 2 days off to just rest my body. After I exercise, I take a shower, I eat breakfast. By then it's about 9:30, and I generally have some kind of work scheduled on any given day between like 10 and 12:30. So I work for a couple of hours, either doing a podcast like this, or working on my project, or talking to people about investing in the project, or even going to see a piece of land or meet a client. Next month I'm going to be speaking up in Boquete to a women's group.
Nice. Yeah, so you work a few 2 or 3 hours a day
Yeah,
and
I work. And then I take lunch. I'll take about a 2 hour lunch and either eat at home with my husband because he works from home too. Or I might go to town and have lunch with a friend. And by the way, for me to go to town, I live on an island. I have to go by boat. We live completely off grid with solar and rain catchment, and our car is our boat. It's 10 minutes to town to go to a restaurant or a grocery store. But it's an adventurous life that I love and I'm healthy enough to do right now. My
Love that.
choice, right? So then I generally will work another couple of hours in the afternoon, and if I don't have anything scheduled, then I'll do one of my hobby things. Like I love to bake, and I'll bake bread. I break bread. I don't eat bread, but I bake it for my husband because he loves it. And
Gotcha.
I bake bread every week for him, and I enjoy it. Just the kneading of the bread, and it's again, it's creating something from nothing.
Well, I mean, that's what entrepreneurs are, investors really are. I mean, it's, I used to think I wasn't creative. I'm not creative, but,
Oh, you are.
it's running a business, creating a business or adding value to a real estate property, you're creating something. So
Yeah.
you know.
So I read the 4 hour work week, and I generally work about 4 hours a day. And then by 4 o'clock, I'm either preparing dinner or getting ready to go out to dinner, for the evening.
No, it sounds like a fantastic lifestyle. I mean, I don't think I'll ever retire per se because I do enjoy working some.
I
And
tried. I tried to
yeah.
retire.
Okay, didn't work.
Didn't work.
I think that's amazing. And just the fact that you're willing to just be so intentional and conscious about everything. And to be clear, you put in a lot of work before to get where you
Yeah,
are now.
in the past, I worked a lot more than this. When I owned my real estate franchise, which I opened in 2012 and then sold in 2021, I worked like full 40-hour work week showing property to people in a boat, because most of the properties are on islands here. But it was, again, another fun adventure. And when I got tired of it, I sold it, and I did that 3 years ago.
So, and you may have, more professional adventures ahead of you, right?
It's possible. I'm thinking that this multifamily that I would like to create, conscious community for elders and their children, might be my last formal project.
I've got some more rapid fire questions here. Are you ready for those?
Sure.
What is one thing, this one trips people up sometimes. What is one thing that people misunderstand about you?
That's one thing people misunderstand about me. I think I'm not that easy to get to know at first. I'm kind of quiet, more of an introvert. except if I'm intentionally reaching out to someone for a purpose, but like at a party or something, if I don't know anybody, I might wait for someone to come up to me and start a conversation. Not necessarily reach out to them, although I can do both. So people don't, they might see that as a bit, me as a bit standoffish, and that would be a misunderstanding because I'm really very friendly and open-hearted.
Understood. That makes I can relate to that. What's one of your biggest failures, Anne Michelle?
Wow. Well, I don't believe there are failures to start with, only learning experiences.
Well,
But
the
one of
second part of the question
my,
is, what did you learn from that experience? So,
yeah, I would say one of the biggest ones was the 2008 crash. Because previous to that, I was invested in multiple single family homes in three different states. And I was over leveraged because you could put, 0 down or 5% down, and you get these adjustable loans, and you'd put these renters in the property at the time at the low rate. So when all the bottom dropped out of that and property values went down so quickly and interest rates went up so quickly, people couldn't pay, they lost their jobs. And so we had to, I lost probably a third of my portfolio that I couldn't hold on to. I was lucky enough, more lucky than some, to be able to hold on to some that I'd had more equity in. I had to let go of that, and I learned from that not to over leverage, not to count your chickens before they're hatched, that type of thing. And I will never put myself in that position again, which is why I did what I did today, was I built everything I have today with no debt. I own my commercial office building where my business was, and I now rent out to other people and own my own home with my husband, debt free. And that's going to stay that way, even though they say that it's not, it's dead money. I don't care. I have other money I'll invest, that I've built up from the investments, and other people can do that too. If you make a plan, a strategy, and you put a certain amount of money aside, I don't care if it's 10 bucks or 100 bucks or 1,000 bucks or 10,000 bucks, in a fund for your future real estate investments or your stock market investments or whatever you've chosen as your vehicles, you will have then a pot that you can start with, and build from there. And I started with nothing. I borrowed money to start with.
Yeah, it's amazing. Speaking of money, if you were given $10 million tomorrow, what would you do with it?
Oh, I'd build my community. I only need 7 million. I'd take the other 3 million and put it in a passive investment.
There you go. So speak more about your community. What is that exactly?
Well, I call it, it's the company is Passive Profit Partners, where you invest and we do the rest, because I want to create an intentional community for elders and their digital nomad kids, basically. And the impetus for that comes from more than ROI. Really, I'm into impact investing that's going to impact my community and the people in it, and even outside of that, on multiple levels. So it was born of that intention. And I, at the same time, I saw a gap in the community here in Bocas, where I live, from being in the real estate business here for a long time, of a shortage of any kind of community where there were amenities provided. There weren't even any swimming pools in Bocas 15 years ago, and now almost everybody's putting one in. So to think about a fifth, you know what an over 55 community provides: pickleball and swimming pools and
I
gardening and
love pickleball.
hiking clubs and game rooms and event centers and all of that stuff, as well as a little bit of health and wellness incorporated in there, so you can do alternative therapies and, healthy dining. So that, and I want to see people go into their older years thriving and not just surviving. And I think
Love
with
that.
the situation in the US as it is today, many people can't afford what that takes to do in the US. So they're looking for alternatives, and a percentage of them may be adventurous enough to move to Panama, or maybe they've explored on a vacation and said, what a great place this would be. Or their kids have explored on a vacation and said, yeah, this would be cool, but I got my parents back in the States. Well, now the whole family can come. invest in a project that not only they could live in part-time or full-time, but it'd be a fractional ownership, provide an ROI as well. So,
That's
and you don't have to want to live there to get, you know, you can just be an investor and get ROI, or you could do both.
That's fascinating. Yeah, that's really interesting. Let's see here. What is a challenge, speaking of your business, your project that you're working on, what is a challenge that you're facing with that right now?
Well, a challenge is I think people have some misconceptions, one about Panama and fear about investing outside the states because most people wouldn't even think of it. And I strive to educate people so that that fear, you know, goes away, and so that they know there is opportunity and that it provides great diversification for their portfolios, to not only, you know, invest outside their state, but invest outside their country. It's just more safety in uncertain times to not put your eggs all in one basket.
Makes sense. What is one thing in your field of expertise in real estate investing that almost no one agrees with you about?
No one agrees with me. I'm gonna have to think about that.
No
I
problem.
think.
Anything controversial? How about we'll pivot and what's something controversial that you see in real estate investing? I know you're removed from the US, but is there anything you see that's, people should avoid or that's controversial when it comes to real estate investing?
People should avoid, or that's controversial. I think it's important to vet and research your deals thoroughly, you know,
For
make
sure.
sure they are a fit for you, whatever it is.
Absolutely.
I remember one apartment building that I bought back in, oh gosh, the 90s probably. And it was in a not so great part of town in Denver. And but I thought I saw the signs of it gentrifying, and I was wrong, you know, and I bought the apartment building, and I couldn't. That was the one investment I couldn't really turn around. So I didn't lose money on it. I sold it for break even, but I didn't make money on it either. And I learned from that to, you know, take risks, but not too much of a risk.
Sure. What do you think is the biggest psychological barrier that real estate investors face today?
Fear. I think is that fear is a big psychological barrier to get started, to continue when you hit a roadblock, to overcome obstacles that are inevitably going to come in your way. And if you can create less fear within yourself,
Yeah,
then you'll be
absolutely.
able to make those leaps better.
For sure. And like you said, that it's inevitable, right? That you're going to have obstacles. So we shouldn't be surprised when they happen. We don't know how they're going to appear, what they're going to look like, but oh, here it is, right? I knew this was coming. How has, and we already spoke about this, but if you have anything to add, how has financial abundance, and in your case, it's living debt-free specifically, but how has financial abundance made your life better?
Well, my schedule is my own, you know. It gives you options. Having financial independence gives you options. And that once I actually achieved it and got here and lived in the house and had enough passive income to pay my bills, I was like, okay, what now? So in a way, it's never ending. You then
Sure.
I had to create, I reached all my goals that I had for myself, and I had to create
Amazing.
new goals.
Sure. Absolutely. I love that. What is a book or two that you could recommend to our listener?
I recommend anything by Greg Braden, Dr.
Okay.
Joe Dispenza, or Bruce Lipton.
Okay.
Three scientists, doctors that have scientifically proven that thoughts become things and that we can create our reality from our mindset, and that that's 80% of the journey.
Got it. You already spoke about your community and serving those specific people. How else do you like to serve others?
Well, I'm a member of Rotary, so
Okay.
I do volunteer with Rotary. I hope to have as part of my community a, like a scholarship program for people that might not be able to afford to live in a place like that. There's particularly that's how we'll include, this is mostly targeted towards expats and their families, but I think there's some Panamanians that would love to live in a place like that too and might not be able to afford it. So I'm hoping to have a section for them.
Makes sense.
I hope to incorporate for our employees, even have them be part fractional owners, even though they probably wouldn't live there and participate. They can put a portion of their salary, into the investment as well. Have multiple levels of ways to invest for multiple people because it's important to me to have a ripple effect. Jobs for people, places for people to live, improve the community and have it and the investors outside the community and everything.
So from a next step standpoint, if someone hears this, is this project fully operational, or how can they get started working with you?
The way to get started is I do consultations with people initially, and they can set that up from my LinkedIn portfolio, my LinkedIn profile. It has all my information there. I also have a website that they can contact me. It's www.passive-profit-partners.com. My information is all there, but I start with a conversation like this on a Zoom call where we can get to know each other, see if it's a fit for you, or if there's another way that I can help you. Or if people just want to relocate to Panama, I provide consultations for relocation services.
Nice. Okay, good to know. What is one question that you wish I'd asked that I have not asked?
I don't know.
Anything else you want to touch on at all before we head out of here?
Well, I just want to encourage people to focus on the inner game and never give up,
Love that. And that's really what the show is all about. I mean, we do try to provide practical, next steps and tips in real estate investing and, but ultimately it is the mindset piece and the mental fitness and that inner work is so important because, like you said, you can read a book or multiple books on real estate or watch YouTube videos, and the mechanics of it you can learn or partner with the right people who know that. But if you don't have that mindset piece and the mental fitness piece down, you're not going to go very far. So, I love that. So LinkedIn, and Michelle Wand, and then you gave the
And Michelle
website.
Wan, and I have a page, Passive Profit Partners.
Perfect. This has been great. And Michelle, thank you so much for your time. This is, like I said, I think a very relatable yet unique story. And so I think this is going to be one of the more popular episodes we've had. So thank you so much for joining us.
No, you're so very welcome. I am honored to have met you and be able to share information with you and communicate. So hopefully your listeners will find value in it because that's my goal.
I think they will. And to the listener, thank you for joining us and spending your most valuable resource with us, and that is your time. Thanks, everyone. Take care.
Thank you for joining us on From Adversity to Abundance. We hope today's episode has equipped you with valuable insights and practical advice to elevate your real estate journey. For more inspiring stories and resources, visit us at www.adversity2abundance.com. If this episode has inspired you, please share it with a friend who could also benefit from our conversation. Together, let's turn adversity into abundance. Until next time, keep building your mental fitness and your real estate empire.
Hey there, it's Jamie Bateman. Ever felt boxed in by life's challenges? Dive into my new book, From Adversity to Abundance, Inspiring Stories of Mental, Physical, and Financial Transformation, available now on Amazon. From a former bank robber's redemption to a young entrepreneur's victory over hurdles, These stories are not just inspiration. They're the roadmaps to your transformation. Whether for you or as a powerful gift to friends and family, especially those who might not tune into podcasts, this book is a beacon to a life of abundance. Ignite that inner fire and set your course to the life you've imagined. Purchase yours today on Amazon and light the path for someone you love.